Well, greetings, everyone, in the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, and I thank God for this privilege I have of coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another Christ-honoring gospel broadcast. And friends, again, I'm so happy today that I can open this book which I hold in my hand, and I can tell you as best I can, with God's help, the wonderful story of redeeming love. I can tell you that God is a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God of matchless grace. Yes, and I can tell you all this because I know it to be true from personal experience. Friends, back on June the 2nd of 1952, even though I was religious, I was convicted of my sinful and degraded condition in God's sight. I accepted His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my own and personal Savior. On that day, I was born again. I was saved. I was made a new creature in and through Christ Jesus. And friends, as I stand before you today with the Word of God in my hands, I'm one of the happiest men in all the world because I have something that money can't buy. I have communion and fellowship with a holy God and Creator. In addition, I have eternal life through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in Romans 6 and verse 23 that even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now tell me, radio friend, are you really happy today? Come on now, let's be honest before God. Is there any real joy and satisfaction in your heart and soul? Do you have peace with God? Well, if not, the Bible tells us back in the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 22 and verse 21, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. Again in Romans 5 and 1, we're told, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And since peace is a result of faith, I can tell you in the words of Romans 10 and 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So please, friend, if you want to have peace with God, give heed to God's Word and trust in God's Son as your Savior and your Lord. Let's listen to a lovely tune now, and it has a beautiful message in it, and it's entitled, Jesus Paid It All.
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He
I sure thank God today that Jesus paid it all. Yes, when He suffered, bled, and died at Calvary's cross, at the end of those hours of suffering there at Calvary, we hear those words of the Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 30. It is finished. Yes, Jesus paid it all in drops of crimson blood. And friend, the only thing I'm depending upon to take me into God's heaven today is faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Yes, it's a finished work. And I rest today where God rests, in the finished work of Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father, we bow in thy presence today to thank thee again for the finished work of Christ. We thank thee, our God, that nothing need be added to the value and the virtue of his shed blood. And we would pray thy blessing upon thy word wherever Christ is being preached today. Save souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. And now let's listen to another lovely tune before we get into the book today, and it's entitled Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's
then. Those of you who have your Bibles handy and would care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be reading from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, and beginning at verse 16. Here in this chapter we have brought before us the account of God and his goodness to his earthly people Israel. And we read here, for sake of time, beginning at verse 16. This is Nehemiah 9 and verse 16. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today I'd like to bring before you some of the characteristics of God as revealed not only in our text for today, but also in the lives of every born-again child of God within the sound of my voice. Yes, and we who are redeemed by precious blood shall be eternally grateful to God for his love and mercy and grace, as evidenced in the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing we notice in our text, Nehemiah 9 and verse 17, is the fact that God is ready to pardon. Yes, our scripture declares, thou art a God ready to pardon. And friends, if God is ready to pardon us, then he must consider us as being guilty of some charge, and therefore under a sentence. Well, over in Romans 3 and verse 19 we read, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Sinner friend, you and I and everyone else have broken the laws of God, and the verdict is given in Romans 3 and 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, sinner friend, there is none righteous, no, not one. We've all rebelled against the God of heaven, and there is nothing about us that would commend us to God. We've all been born in sin and chastened in iniquity. We roll sin as a sweet morsel under our tongue. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Our mouths are full of cursing, bitterness, and lies. There's no apparent fear of God before our eyes, and we drink iniquity and sin as though they were water. Yes, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, we're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And friends, if I were to sum it all up in one derogatory expression of fact, I'd say we're nothing but sin covered with skin. Listen, sinner friend, if you ever get a glimpse of yourself and realize how depraved you are in the sight of a holy and righteous God, well, believe me, you'll cry out for God's salvation. Yes, you'll want God to pardon you when you face the reality of your guilt in His sight. Friend, whether you realize it or not, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on a cross one day for your sins, so that you could be pardoned, so that you could have eternal life, so that you could have fellowship with God in heaven for all eternity. Yes, sinner friend, God is ready to pardon any and every sinner who will acknowledge and repent of their sin. Over in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7 we read, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Yes, my friend, God is not only ready to pardon, but he is also able to abundantly pardon. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're a so-called big sinner or a little sinner. The pardon is still the same, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, friends, over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we read these wonderful words of hope and assurance for the rebel creature of God. "The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Yes, the God of heaven is ready to pardon any sinner who will repent of his sin and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now then, that leads us to the next characteristic of God, which we read of in our text for today, and that's the fact that he is also gracious and merciful. Friends, the grace and mercy of God was manifested in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 1 and 17, we read that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Again, we're told in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Yes, friends, the amazing grace of God was expressed in the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. And every blood-washed child of God listening in today is justified in the sight of God because of his amazing grace. In Romans 3 and verse 24 we read, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And friend, you who've never been saved or born again, you too can know the joy of sins forgiven this very hour if you'll simply acknowledge and repent of your sin. Then accept by faith alone God's Son as your own and personal Savior. You know, there are no doubt many religious people tuned into this program today, and it's not by mere coincidence that the Holy Spirit of God has caused you to listen either. No, God is desirous of you being awakened to see your need of Jesus Christ. Some of you, though you may not care to admit it, some of you are depending upon your so-called good works and religious activity to gain you entrance into God's heaven. But listen, friend, listen. That's not according to the Word of God. Oh, no. God makes it quite clear in Titus 3 and 5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. Yes, God is gracious and merciful. And if it were not for the love and the grace and the mercy of God towards the speaker, I would be on my way to a deserving hell, or perhaps already there. But as all of you know, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Yes, all of you Christians listening in today, you know for a fact that where sin abounded, grace did overflow. Now, friend, every Christian in the world today has been saved the same way, by the grace of God. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." No, my friend, Salvation is all of God, and we can do absolutely nothing to save our own soul. And according to Isaiah 64:6, all of our so-called good works and religious activity, if we've never been saved, they're nothing but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Now, the third characteristic of God, as revealed in our text, Nehemiah 9:17, is the fact that He is slow to anger. He's slow to anger. We think of how tolerant He was with our first parents, Adam and Eve. We think of how long-suffering He was with the antediluvians in Noah's day. Then, of course, the Scriptures tell us how patient He was with the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, and time again, when His chosen people murmured and complained and rebelled against Him in the wilderness, nevertheless, He was slow to anger. And again, I know that in the case of every Christian saved by sovereign grace, the God of heaven displayed the virtue of being slow to anger. I know that in my own case, God allowed me to live in a state of open rebellion to His plan of salvation for over 30 years. Yes, I knowingly trampled underfoot His Son, Jesus Christ. But because God is slow to anger, His grace prevailed until I could resist Him no longer, and I was born again into God's family on June 2, 1952. And today, my friend, I'm a sinner saved by grace alone, and I don't profess to be any better than anyone listening in, because all that I am, in fact, all that I ever hope to be, I claim through faith in Jesus Christ. And friends, someday soon I'm going to see my Redeemer face to face. And then with unsinning heart, I'll be able to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And sinner friend, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that you might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord too. Yes, He's the one who died for your sins at the place called Calvary. Well, friends, our text for today, Nehemiah 9:17, tells us that God is ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And sinner friend, the great kindness of God is being evidenced in your hearing the gospel today. You could be like millions of others who sit in churches week after week and who never once hear the truth of God's word that they're lost sinners and that they have to be born again. You know, friend, when I think of the great white throne judgment and how the thousands of preachers, priests, and rabbis will stand before God and will be unable to open their mouth in their own defense, the Bible says that they'll be without excuse. Yes, here they are in this life, and they stand in the pulpit, and they deliver an oration which reeks of pride and secularism. Tell me, friend, when was the last time your preacher spoke on the wrath of God, or the ruin of man, or the need of being born again if you ever expect to be in God's heaven? Isn't it sad when you stop to think of the great kindness of God being displayed in the gift of salvation and countless multitudes? Yes, even in this great land of ours that has been so favored down through the years, yet countless multitudes have never heard the real truth of God. And many will pass out of time into a lost eternity without Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then they'll wish that they had never been born. They'll wonder what life was all about, and they'll have all eternity to suffer the wrath of God and wonder why they hadn't been told. Well, friend, you're hearing the truth of God's word today. Yes, I'm telling you as simply as I can how you can escape the flames of hell by simply trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Will you accept God's Son as your Savior today, my friend? Will you let my Savior become your Savior too? Will you cast aside your pride, your religion, your so-called good works, and simply plead the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, friend, you'll never have a better opportunity to be saved and born again than right now, while the Holy Spirit of God is striving for your soul. You know, it grieves me when I think of those who have been subjected to the great kindness of God, and yet they've turned their back on a loving Creator, and the language of their heart is, "I'll be saved someday, but not today." Oh, how sad. Friend, God declares in Proverbs 27:1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." In 2 Corinthians 6:2 we read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And then I'm reminded of that ominous warning given by God in Proverbs 29:1. Listen to this. This is Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Oh, friend, God is kind, but he is also just. And if you won't accept the death of his son as an atonement for your sin, then you'll have to suffer for your own sin. It's just that simple. But again, I remind you that God is now ready to pardon. He's gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger and of great kindness. Now, the last phrase in our text tells us that God will not forsake. Friend, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you'll become a child of God, and you'll be a joint heir with his Son, Jesus Christ. Over in John chapter 6 and verse 37, the Lord gives us these words of assurance. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Again in John's Gospel chapter 10, beginning at verse 27, here's what the Son of God says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Oh, how I thank God for his promise never to leave nor forsake his own, those who've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Sinner friend, you too can rejoice today. Yes, you too can have the blessed assurance that if you should die, or if the Lord should come, as far as you're concerned, it would be at home with the Lord in heaven. In closing, my friend, I'd like to recite to you the best known verse in all the Bible. These words have been used by the Holy Spirit of God to lead countless souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, including my own father. Over in John 3 and verse 16, here's what the Son of God says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, friend, the decision is now up to you. I read over there in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 where God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Friend, God has done all that he can do. He has provided the means of your soul salvation in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's only fair to tell you, my friend, that if you don't accept Jesus Christ, there is an alternative. I read where Jesus Christ himself tells us over in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned. Again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, we read, all shall be damned who believe not the truth. Friend, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are shaking your fist in the face of a holy God, the one in whose hand your very breath is, and you are calling God a liar. You say, oh, I wouldn't do that. I hope you won't, my friend. But if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, then you're calling God a liar. I read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. My friend, you can have eternal life today through simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It's not by good works. It's not by baptism. It's not by trying to do the best you can, by trying to keep the golden rule or the Ten Commandments. My friend, listen, look at it logically. If you and I could get to heaven by doing anything, then why did Jesus die? Why did he die that shameful and ignominious death of Calvary's cross? If you and I could get to heaven by being good, or trying to join a church, or live a life well-pleasing to our fellow men. No, my friend, we can't do a thing to please God apart from having faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all. This is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, again we bow in thy presence today to thank thee for thine unspeakable Jesus Christ. We thank thee that because he loved us, he went all the way to Calvary, and there he shed that precious blood without which there can be no remission for sin. We thank thee, our God, that thou art a God ready to pardon, slow to anger, of great mercy. And we thank thee, our God, for having extended the day of grace so that those who are listening in out in Radio Land today might accept Christ as their Savior. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you'd like to have some good basic and fundamental gospel literature, I'll send it to you absolutely without cost to you. Just send your name and address to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now into our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come, I say if the Lord doesn't come, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.